Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Weapons on hold. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Nicole Murray. On this Wednesday, May 8th. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The White House has paused a weapons delivery to Israel to keep certain bombs from being used in a threatened attack on southern Gaza.
Stormy Daniels revealed intimate details of her alleged tryst with Donald Trump during testimony in his criminal hush money trial.
Tornadoes battered Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. Other twisters were reported early this morning in Arizona and West Virginia.
And if annuities are considered important to our retirement, why are we buying so few of them?
The researchers who are worried about us kind of living too long and outliving our savings, they argue that probably we as a country should have more annuities than we do. And this is a contentious point.
Dan Divise at USA Today on why annuities are often debated. The Biden administration is pausing a shipment of weapons to Israel as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu prepared new operations in Rafah in southern Gaza. U.S. officials said they were conducting a review of other weapon sales amid Israel's operations there, launched late Monday, even after Hamas agreed to the rough outlines of a deal that could release hostages for a ceasefire. Among the weapons being withheld, 2,000-pound bombs. Pentagon spokeswoman Sabrina Singh.
We are not supportive of a large ground incursion into Rafah. We are very concerned that, there are over 1 million people sheltering there. We want to make sure that civilian casualties are limited, that there is no harm done.
Earlier yesterday, Israel sent tanks into Rafah and took control of the Gaza side of a key border crossing to Egypt. That also closed a gateway for humanitarian assistance for Palestinians, prompting the U.S. to renew calls to reopen the gate. The Biden administration has repeatedly said it opposes Israel launching a ground operation in Rafah, which Israel has identified as the last Hamas holdout. President Biden is denouncing what he refers to as a ferocious surge of anti-Semitism in America and the atrocities committed by Hamas during its terror attack on Israel last fall. His remarks at the U.S. Capitol yesterday were part of a U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum ceremony, marking the Days of Remembrance to honor the memory of the 6 million Jews killed during the Holocaust, as well as other victims of Nazi persecution.
Violent attacks, destroying property, is not peaceful protest. It's against the law. And we are not a lawless country.
The speech came just as a possible Israeli invasion of Rafah looms and college protests against the war in Gaza are unfolding across the U.S. Biden has faced criticism as he's tried to balance support for Israel's security with sympathy for the Palestinians killed and suffering in Gaza. The White House yesterday also announced new actions intended to combat the rise in anti-Semitism, including on college campuses. Salacious details from adult film actress Stormy Daniels during her testimony in the Donald Trump hush money case. She told jurors he greeted her in silky pajamas at his penthouse suite at a Lake Tahoe hotel in 2006 during a celebrity golf tournament. Among her other details, their position during the one-night stand and his lack of protection. Prosecutors allege the brief sexual encounter was followed years later by Trump falsifying business records to conceal a $130,000 payment to Daniels on the eve of the 2016 election to buy her silence. The Republican presidential candidate has denied the affair and any wrongdoing. As usual, he spoke after the court day was complete.
I should be out campaigning right now. We're leading in all the polls. I'd like to be campaigning. We'll be leading by a lot more.
Cross-examination of Daniels will resume tomorrow. Today's an off day for court proceedings. Meanwhile, the federal judge presiding over his prosecution in South Florida indefinitely delayed his trial on charges that Trump mishandled classified documents.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity for all businesses to reach their full potential. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the MEDC is helping Michigan thrive.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. The third week of Donald Trump's hush money trial started with a bang when the judge once again warned, this time face to face, that he could face jail time if he continues to violate a gag order. How is Trump's legal team approaching this? Here's Shelby Talcott, campaign reporter at Semaphore. Shelby, what are you hearing?
So I think the important thing to remember is that the legal team and the campaign side of things, while they are technically separate people, it is effectively the same operation. The campaign is constantly talking to the legal side. The legal side is constantly talking to the campaign side. And so what campaign officials are now taking a really close look at is what would it mean and what would it look like and what would the response from the Trump campaign have to be if Donald Trump does end up jailed, even if it's just for an hour or two, as a result of these repeated gag violations.
I would presume that each campaign here would have fodder. Trump's campaign would use it one way, right? Being attacked by the system, and then the Biden campaign perhaps would use it another way, saying, you know, here's the alternative to me or something like that.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is that you really haven't seen the Biden campaign so far directly highlight this Trump trial. And part of the reason for that is because they just don't want to give the main argument that Trump is making, which is that this is all politically motivated, any more fodder, right? And so they're content to sort of let the Trump trial play out and have the president actually focused and able to talk about the issues that Americans care about and able to go out on the campaign trail. Now, if Donald Trump were to end up in jail, even if just for an hour or two, or even on some sort of a house arrest as a result of these gag order violations, the Trump campaign is likely to use this to highlight that main argument that we just talked about, that this is political motivation, that he's being silenced, he's running a presidential campaign, what have you. And so they certainly believe that while they don't want him to end up in jail for any amount of time, it would be a great fundraising effort by them and a great opportunity for them to make that argument.
We're speaking with Shelby Talcott, campaign reporter at Semaphore. The story is called "The Trump Campaign Contemplates a Jail Sentence," a reference to the potential here, since he's violated a judge's gag order in the hush money trial about 10 times. Alternative punishments here. You referenced maybe home confinement. So what else might be out there?
They could continue to issue fines. I think there is an understanding that the judge could up the fines. It could be home confinement. There's various things that wouldn't be as severe as jail time. But as the judge himself said just the other day, that is on the table. And so it is a possibility, just because the judge is not convinced that repeatedly giving Donald Trump these $1,000 fines is really making any sort of difference. And I think what we're going to really look for this week, as Stormy Daniels is on the stand testifying, is Donald Trump able to sort of restrict himself in what he says, knowing that the judge seems pretty serious, even though he did admit himself that he's reluctant, but he's serious about the threat of jail.
I think you made the point in the story. Trump here still can take the lead on messaging almost no matter what, it seems.
Yeah, Donald Trump has always taken the lead on messaging. You know, when you talk to his campaign aides and even his legal team, they all say one thing. He gets advice from a lot of people, but ultimately the decisions come from Donald Trump. And so the decisions on messaging, the decisions on how to frame things. It's been reported that he was sort of tagging in his lawyers and sort of pushing them quietly to be a little bit more aggressive as Stormy Daniels was on the stand. And so we're going to see that regardless of if Trump is in jail for an hour or two. Ultimately, whatever messaging that comes from the Trump campaign is signed off by Donald Trump.
Thanks, Shelby. Shelby Talcott, campaign reporter at Semaphore. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden has paused the latest shipment of ammunition to Israel to prevent the U.S.-made weapons from being used in an assault on the city of Rafah, where 1 million Palestinians have taken refuge. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We have been very clear from here about our concerns about a major operations. We have been very clear from here about protecting civilians.
The administration added it is considering whether to hold back future weapon deliveries.
Number two.
TikTok has sued the U.S. government, saying the country's new law that could ban the app violates First Amendment rights to free speech. Lawmakers say the bill that gives TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance 9 months to divest is necessary to address national security concerns.
Number three.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has declared a state of emergency after tornadoes ripped through the state, causing extensive damage. Linda Poveda, who took shelter in a library.
We knew that there was a tornado coming. And our daughter from Nebraska said, Mom, you gotta go get out of the house, gotta go somewhere, go to the library.
Twisters were also reported in Arizona, Indiana, West Virginia, and more. More than 40,000 were without power. A Northern California woman is facing more than 3 years in prison after being convicted of shoplifting more than $60,000 worth of items from Target using self-checkout. Prosecutors say 43-year-old Aziza Graves stole from the same Target store more than 120 times in 1 year. The Boy Scouts of America have announced it is changing its name to Scouting America to be more inclusive. The name change will take place on February 8th of next year on the organization's 115th anniversary. An 85-year-old woman who had gone missing for more than 2 hours is safe and sound after a Colorado police dog came to her rescue. Here's the moment she was located.
Hi, ma'am. This is a friendly dog. He found you.
That's good.
We're going to get you home, okay?
She was found clinging to a tree down a steep ravine.
Man.
We don't deserve dogs. We really don't.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. Annuities are an essential component of the American retirement system, starting with Social Security. Why then do so few Americans understand them? Here's Dan Divisay, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Dan, what's being said?
People who study retirement, and I'm talking like economists and researchers, not like the annuity king, you know, are worried that not enough people have annuities. And this is annuities with a small A, so I'm talking Social Security, you know, that's an annuity. If you have a pension, that's an annuity. And then people buy annuities, which can be good or they can be bad. And the researchers who are worried about us kind of living too long and outliving our savings, they argue that probably we as a country should have more annuities than we do. And this is a contentious point, but that's the point they're making.
Yeah, because they are essentially what? The kind of mini insurance policies, right?
Well, the annuities sold by insurance companies, I think they're called commercial annuities, have a mixed reputation, as a few of our readers reminded me this morning. A lot of people out there think annuities are bad. If you Google the term annuities, you'll see a lot of anger, a lot of vitriol. And indeed, the industry has fraud. But that's why it's important to draw a distinction between an annuity you might walk into a storefront and purchase versus these other kinds of annuities, including some very, very high quality pensions and, of course, Social Security, which is, you know, reasonably dependable.
The reputation for being bad comes from where, Dan?
I spent a few days trying to figure this out. I don't understand annuities very well myself, and apparently very few of us do. But the fraud derives from that very fact. It is complicated. If you go into an insurance office and try to buy an annuity, it is a contract with a very long and very scary, like, document attached to it. And not many of us read the document. Those of us who do read it don't generally understand it. And for that very reason, the very complexity of the product leaves it prone, I guess, to fraud. You know, there are bad actors who will prey on our lack of knowledge about this very complex instrument.
We're speaking with Dan Divisay, personal finance reporter at USA Today. His piece is called Annuities Are Key to Retirement, So Why Are So Few of Us Buying Them? Can you pass them along to heirs when you die, or do they die with you?
Ooh, that's a good question. There are a bunch of different kinds of annuities, and my understanding is there are some that are structured so that somebody can inherit them in a certain way. I think typically they die with you when you die, but I understand they're not all that way. And that's part of why people are hinky about them, because, you know, handing over an enormous pile of money and knowing that none of it will go to anyone when you die, that's a scary thought for some of us. You want to leave something, you know?
I thought it was interesting you said, too, Americans don't understand Social Security very well.
No, this question in this test said, is it true or false that Social Security earnings are based on your last 2 years of work? And no, I mean, no, they're based on as many as 35 of your highest earning years. So if you work 35 years, all of them go into the calculation. If you work more than 35 years, I think I might be up beyond 35 now, then your top 35 earning years are the ones that count. Mm.
And then you brought up an interesting point here with part of this research. Are 401ks and IRAs doing the job of securing retirement for us?
Well, this is, again, a contentious point, but the people who are economists who study retirement say no, they are not. And the reason they are not, it's not the higher income people. They take full advantage of IRAs and have lots and lots of money in those things. But those of us in middle income tiers are much less likely to even have a 401k or an IRA. I think half the country, according to the census, has no retirement savings whatsoever. So no, they're not doing the job.
Dan Divise, personal finance reporter at USA Today. As a business owner, you have necessary expenses, but some quick math might reveal that you're spending on items that are narrowing your profit margin. Get a smarter business plan with NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system. You have access to accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR all in one platform. With NetSuite, everything can be accessed in the cloud from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how your company can benefit from NetSuite. Visit netsuite.com/Gordon. NetSuite has proven ways to cut costs and boost performance. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. NetSuite.com/Gordon. That's NetSuite.com/Gordon.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday, May 8th. Gordon Deal, Nicole Murray. Some of our top stories and headlines. The White House pauses a weapons delivery to Israel, a pushback to a threatened attack on Rafah. Tornadoes clobbered parts of Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. Stormy Daniels provides details of her alleged one-night stand with Donald Trump during his records falsification trial. The sixth and final missing body from the Baltimore bridge collapse has been found. TikTok sues to block a U.S. law that would ban it. San Jose Sharks get the first pick in the NHL draft, and the Vietnam War vet reunited with his dog tag 56 years later. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built in Michigan. Discover how the Michigan Economic Development Corporation can help your business thrive at michiganbusiness.org/radio. TikTok and its parent company have filed a lawsuit against the Justice Department over a new law that requires the popular app to cut ties with China or essentially be banned in the U.S. The petition was filed in D.C. federal court yesterday. Meanwhile, TikTok spent the past 4 years trying to fend off a U.S. ban, but it never figured out Washington. The law was in part the product of tectonic shifts in U.S.-China relations and coordinated, stealthy efforts by its critics on Capitol Hill. It's a story by Georgia Wells, tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Georgia, what did you uncover?
So TikTok, you know, TikTok has been in this protracted fight with Washington for the past 4 years. Like, this is not something new, but for the past 4 years, Washington has been trying to figure out whether or not they view TikTok as a national security threat. And it's really started to heat up the past couple of months that Washington has been working on this bill, now law, to force ByteDance to divest TikTok. And so that would mean that in about a year, that either ByteDance would have to sell off the U.S. portion of TikTok or they would be banned from operating in this country. And that's you got to understand, this is one of the most popular apps for young people today. That would be just a huge, huge blow to for young people right now.
You know, when I read the headline, I immediately assumed, boy, what a what a terrible job of lobbying. But was that necessarily the case?
Well, TikTok has certainly been lobbying for a long time. I think the question is, like, whether or not TikTok could have ever won it. Like, it's unclear had TikTok taken other steps if they could have avoided this divestiture. But absolutely, there were missteps along the way. So specifically, what we really looked at in this story was that TikTok CEO, this guy Shou Chu, he started in May 2021. And when he started, some people close to him were like, hey, this is a political problem. You really need to go make friends with the big power players in Washington. But our understanding is that, like, he really wanted to focus on, you know, things that are reasonable for a CEO to focus on, but things like revenue, kind of new products, maybe a potential IPO, and that those were, like, valid uses of his time, but all of that goes away if TikTok is, you know, forced to either sell or leave in the U.S.
Yeah. President Biden joined, I think, as you said, on Super Bowl Sunday. He joined TikTok.
And then
wound up signing the bill that could ultimately get it banned.
Yeah, so when Biden signed, people at TikTok celebrated because they viewed that as a signal that, like, if President Biden just signed, we're not getting banned ahead of the election, right? So they were celebrating. They told people, like, don't need to worry right now, because the heat on TikTok has kind of, like, waxed and waned over the years, right? But, wow, they were taken by surprise. You know, lawmakers told us that they, in the past, some of TikTok's lobbying had been so successful that they wanted to craft this in secret so that they wouldn't face as much kind of influence from the lobbyists, right?
Wow.
So lobbyists really, like, were doing this kind of behind closed doors. They totally surprised TikTok and the rest of the world when they came out with this bill. And that's when it kind of, some of Shou's missteps became clear. So folks who had kind of told Shou over the years, like, hey, you really need to get to Washington, you get to know those people, felt really, like, frustrated when this bill came together, because their view was that, you know, there was a good 20 months after Shou arrived where he really wasn't meeting with that many lawmakers. Hmm. He really only prioritized it ahead of when the House Energy and Commerce Committee kind of pulled him up to do this really, really tough hearing in March 2023.
Yeah.
And their view was, not just in politics, in life, when your first meeting with people is when they're forcing you and when you're kind of asking for something, like, that's a really, you're in a tough spot.
We're speaking with Georgia Wells, tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal. The story is called How TikTok Lost the War in Washington. And just back up for a second here, the biggest concerns here that lawmakers have talked about with TikTok is the parent company, right, being ByteDance, being based in China. And then from there, it goes how, Georgia?
Yeah, so in China, companies have very different relationships with the government than they do in the U.S. In China, it's very nearly impossible if the government comes to you with a request. It's really hard for companies to say no. And so in the case of TikTok, the fear is that the Chinese government could lean on ByteDance, which is their parent company, either for U.S. user data or to influence the type of content that Americans see. In both of those cases, TikTok has said that it would never comply with if asked. But it's a little bit of a tough argument for any company to make.
Thanks, Georgia. Georgia Wells, tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Let me introduce the sports fans to Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. On Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Here come the NBA and NHL playoffs, plus MLS soccer is underway, right? So maybe on a single entry, you choose LeBron James for more than 23 points, Connor McDavid for less than 3 assists, and Lionel Messi for more than 1 goal. You can now win up to 100 times your money. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000. Download the app today and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code DEAL on PrizePicks for a deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, sports fans of a certain age can tell you about the Heidi Game, a football game between the New York Jets and Oakland Raiders in 1968, which was interrupted in the middle of an exciting finish by the movie Heidi, which NBC decided to break away to, causing viewers to miss the Raiders' big comeback. Flash forward to last night, and ESPN almost had its own Heidi incident during the final minute of regulation in a playoff hockey game between the New York Rangers and Carolina Hurricanes, which was tied 3-3. ESPN accidentally cut to the start of the Dallas-Colorado game, causing heart palpitations for fans on the edge of their seats. Thankfully, the broadcast cut back to New York within 15 seconds before the clock hit zero, and fans didn't miss any goals as the teams went to overtime. Fans described those anxious few moments on social media. Some joked they thought they must have sat on their remote. One user said that between this and the CBS Piano Man fiasco, there may need to be a never cut away from MSG rule instituted at the TV networks.
As somebody said also, this should have been covered in the pregame production meeting.
Yeah. Can you imagine you're somebody like in the truck or something, just like leaned on the wrong switch or something like that, and then caused that to happen?
Yeah, because that had to be an accident, like an elbow against the wall during a party when you shut the lights off by accident.
Right.
Because nobody's watching that game with 55 seconds left, tied at three, and going, let's switch coverage.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah. The Dallas and Dallas and Colorado, they're skating, they're pregame skating. We gotta get to that game immediately.
The lights are still off and they're in warm-ups. Right?
Yeah.
By the way, sitting on the remote,
yes,
or having your dog jump on the couch at the inopportune time can also cause panic with the channel switch.
That is true.
Thank goodness for the last button. You know, when you click the last on your remote.
Yes.
Whew, savior.
If you can find that quickly, yes. And, you know, we're always looking for ways to improve our food eating experience, and one guy's been getting some attention recently for doing just that. A Florida man named Ryan Duff has become a social media celebrity among people who love a good grilled cheese. Ryan posted on X a few weeks back proclaiming, "You guys, I think I finally perfected the art of grilled cheese. This is a game changer." The posted pic shows an ordinary-looking grilled cheese sandwich, but with a different cut. Instead of in half, the sandwich is cut in thirds in the shape of a Y down the middle. Ryan went on to explain that the three-way cut is superior because it provides the correct ratio of bite to crust in any given piece, and feels so strongly about it that he's willing to die on this hill. Most commenters seem to like Ryan's innovation, with at least one person calling it life-changing. More than a few people also noticed that Ryan's sandwich cut seemed to be inspired by the movie Back to the Future, since his grilled cheese looks an awful lot like a flux capacitor.
Mm. I don't think it's evenly cut into thirds.
Uh-oh. You have skepticism here.
I think it's like 35%, 35%, and the triangular wedge is 30.
Oh, boy.
I think it's slightly off.
So you're saying this is not perfection, as he is proclaiming.
I know he's cut it into three pieces.
Yeah.
I don't think they're even thirds, just a thought.
35, 35 to 30?
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, if you're older than 10, you need to be adding tomato to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That plain grilled cheese sandwich is the foul right there. Right.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? It's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Glad you're with us. Don't be like the 46% of Americans who failed to use all of their paid time off last year. USA Today adopted the TikTok video of John Liang with some modifications to create a handy days-off maximizing calendar. And yes, we're aware weekends are already the time most are awarded off. Step one, take the Friday before Memorial Day so you have a four-day weekend with a day off on Memorial Day Monday. If you take off June 17 and 18, then use Juneteenth on June 19 as a bridge and take June 20th to 21st, you'll get 9 consecutive days off since you sandwiched 2 weekends. Take the Tuesday after Labor Day, obviously, for 4 days in a row. You can do the same for the Tuesday after Veterans Day in November. Next month, take the 2 days before and after Christmas, which is on Wednesday this year. You're getting 9 straight days again for 4 vacation days. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the 3 big things you need to know. Number 1.
Stormy Daniels has testified at Donald Trump's hush money trial about their alleged 2006 sexual encounter that resulted in her being paid to keep silent during the presidential race 10 years later. Trump, who denies the encounter after court.
and all the different states that we wanted to be in, we're not able to be there because we're stuck in this trial, which everyone knows is a hoax.
Meanwhile, a judge has ruled Trump's classified documents trial is indefinitely postponed, citing issues with the evidence.
Number two.
President Biden has condemned what he called a ferocious surge of anti-Semitism in America amid Israel's war with Hamas.
There is no place on any campus in America, any place in America, for anti-Semitism or hate speech or threats of violence of any kind.
Biden's remarks were made at the Holocaust Memorial Museum ceremony to honor the 6 million victims that were killed.
Number three.
Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene seems to be wavering on whether to force a vote to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson after their second day of discussions.
What I'm trying to do is give Mike Johnson a chance to be a Republican speaker, and he seems willing to try to do that.
Greene has accused Johnson of siding with Democrats on spending bills, funding for Ukraine, and more. Panera Bread said it's discontinuing its charged sips drink that were tied to at least two wrongful death lawsuits due to their high caffeine content. Instead, the food chain will introduce a new low-sugar and low-caffeine option as replacement. The halted beverages contained up to 300 milligrams of caffeine per cup. The average cup of coffee has 95. Do you feel pressure when you see a tip request pop up on the screen? If you struggle with guilt tipping, you are not alone. A new study with Talker Research says Americans spend roughly $500 each year tipping more than they would like to.
I never heard that number. Whoa.
I know. That's a lot. Do you struggle with that? Like if yeah. you're making eye contact yep. with the barista and mm-hmm. stuff like that?
I always feel like if I spin the thing around, you know, and they see a zero tip.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something to my food. Right?
I like hide behind the register. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact.
Oops, I hit zero by accident. Thanks for joining us. A Vietnam War veteran has been reunited with a precious souvenir from his military career nearly six decades after his service ended. Larry Morganti of Florence, South Carolina, lost his military ID dog tag during a rocket attack during the war. He got it back last month. Local TV says Morganti served in the 311th Squadron of the Air Force. Worked as a crew chief on a C-123 cargo plane from October of 67 to October of 1968. Morganti told WPDE Television the dog tag ended up in the hands of a Swedish construction worker named Christopher Hansen. Hansen got the object from a friend who found it with a metal detector. Morganti, who's an artist, has his work displayed at a local business called The Vault. Hansen found the business on Facebook and reached out in hopes of reaching Morganti, explaining he'd been looking for the man for 2 years. In late April, Morganti received the dog tag in the mail and a letter from Hansen thanking him for his service. That'll do it for this hour. For Nicole Murray and Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.